Off the road.
Yeah.
Welcome
to
Antwin
Peaks. I love. I don't know.
I love
Cooper.
I love
Special
pie.
Agent Dale. I'm sure there's something that rhymes with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Dan.
I'm Rob.
We're talking Peaks.
We're talking twins.
It's Tuesday, so you know we're talking twins on Tuesday.
Yeah, talking being maybe.
And I am still, as you can see, reporting to you live from my the house I'm squatting in. Squatting in over here. You can see the boxes behind me. There's one folding chair, like an outdoor chair.
I'm reporting from a shanty town.
outside of that window is the is my target for assassination. I've been lying
in
wait.
You. I'm not going to say which one though. Don't want to get in trouble.
It's who am I assassinating? Oh, yeah. It's you ever heard of Nunya? Senator Nunya? Senator Nunya damn business.
That's right. Dan, how we doing?
Doing
how
pretty
are you
good
on this fine Tuesday.
Excuse me, I've got a bit of a thing in my throat, so not great. No, the truth is, I ate a big cheesy burrito right before we started.
Nice.
That's my vocal warm up.
just slathering the cords in dairy. That's what
dairy, mayonnaise, whatever I can get my hands on.
As long as it can. As long as it can gum up the works.
Yep. Yeah. How are you doing? You got a little a damn tiny cup of coffee? Yeah.
It's a regular size. I've just been growing a bit. I've been taking HGH.
Oh good. Oh good. BFR. Right?
Yeah, big fucking Rob.
Big fucking Rob, baby.
Dan. So,
yeah.
I was going to jump into the episode, but you got more. What else? What else?
No. I was just going to say, I wish there was a shrinking pill I could take, but I remember there's a shrinking injectable already. Yeah.
That's super popular right now.
Yeah, I got to get my hands on that.
I mean, if you wait like another, I don't know, 16 months or something, there'll be an over-the-counter version of it that everybody will be absolutely hooked on. And
I don't think it's addictive.
No,
not. I'm addicted to the drug that makes me puke every time I see food.
No, not addictive in like a dependent sort of way. Addictive in the, oh shit, look how good I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I got to keep this up.
Oh, look how sunken my eyes are.
Oh shit.
I've heard of Duncan, Idaho, but sunken eye holes.
Oh man.
And of course that's relevant.
Yeah, that's relevant.
By the way. Before we get into it,
yeah,
I did watch New Dune Part 1.
Hell yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked that damn thing. That Timmy Chalamet, he's an absolute nothing.
Right?
He's a non-entity.
I just quick on Chalamet. I think he is guilty of the thing that everybody was accusing Keanu Reeves of doing, which was like being nothing on screen and everybody was just projecting themselves onto him. And I think that's what Chalamet is here.
Does that mean that he in 20 years, there'll be like a reclamation and we'll be like, no, you weren't looking at him right.
Maybe I'm not looking at him right, but I got to tell you, it's fucking zero.
Tell you what, I'm looking at him right. That's for sure.
So you liked it a lot though, right?
What I wouldn't give to be like his cousin or something, also on that rock changing into my Fremen suit.
Just get Timmy, you know. Come on, man.
me and my mom, Rebecca Ferguson, kind of feeling each other in that moment.
Va, va, voom.
Hachi, in that, hachi.
In that tent? That weird? Or wait, or no.
When they're, on the rock changing, getting changed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're kind of like looking over both their shoulders. Like,
yeah, is this going to happen or not? Yeah, okay.
Like, damn, right. mommy looking like a snack. Don't clip that. Don't clip it.
Oh man. Yeah, the first Dune, really fucking good. That Denny Villeneuve. I watched Blade Runner 2049 over the weekend.
Yeah.
My God. It's like crazy. You watch the first Blade Runner, you're like, well, this is like this, you know, there's a lot going on here. A lot of just vibes and feelings. Mm. Bunch of robots talking about their feelings the whole time. You know, in 1981, I want to say, 82. And then, like, whatever, 30 years later almost, 40 years almost.
Robots like, have been fully integrated into society.
And I'm going to see Dune 2 tomorrow.
You're
so stoked about that.
You're Dune to go to the theater, sounds
that's
like.
Right.
Did you know, so keep in mind that's kind of fun as you're watching Dune 2.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke. Stop smiling. This is real. I saw this in an interview.
Hold on. Let me regain composure. All right, go.
All the stuff on, was it Getty Prime, the Harkonnen planet?
Harkonnen. Yeah.
Shot in infrared. So like all those black and whites.
Yeah.
Blacks and whites. It's like, it's infrared. It's like full on, not a normal light spectrum.
That's pretty fucking wild.
It's pretty fucking wild. And like Denny was talking about it, and he was like,
of course.
He's like, I liked it because it gives the people, like, on top of it giving everything this just like harsh absolute black and white, whereas like maybe a traditional black and white there'd be more like gradient.
Yeah.
He was like, it also gives the people like this milky translucent quality, which you can see in the trailer.
Right. Like with, Elvis.
Yeah. They look like the damn Prometheuses.
They do look like Prometheuses.
Yeah.
They look like the creators.
The creators. Capital C.
Yeah. Those huge jacked dudes with the abs. Mm. Probably got big old hogs and you can't see. They're just out of frame.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
That's the real tragedy of Prometheus, is when he drinks the drink and his hog dissolves into the river.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But we're not talking about Dune. We're talking We're talking about peaks.
Yeah.
Which are like more majestic than any Dune could be.
Yeah, we're not talking about Dune. We're going to be talking about Dune some spelunking.
Okay. I'm doing some spelunking, Lucy.
It's pretty good. Dan, I liked this episode.
Good app.
It's a pretty good app. I think it's not, you know, it's not a full home run, but I feel like it's, you know, maybe like a, maybe a double, you know? You get some great character stuff here. We get the return of Special Agent Gordon Cole. Less Windham Earle in this episode too.
Mm-hmm.
Less Gene Parmesan-esque disguises.
You know, I was, not to scapegoat Windham Earle here, but I was going to say, I think what makes this episode feel so much better than, say, last week's episode is the utter lack of Windham Earle.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to wear one of his little disguises.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has so many of them. He's got to fit them into at least one an episode. It's in his contract.
But yeah, for the most part, I mean, we get a lot of like a lot of stuff with the mysterious tattoos.
Yep.
Of that- Major Briggs and that log lady.
I like that, you know, for the past few episodes, it's been very like, you know, what's going on with Windham Earle? Like, it's sort of the central mystery, you know? And then in this episode, it starts off with like some Windham Earle stuff, but then they're like, Oh, we got other stuff to. All right, we're gonna put this Wyndham Earle, like the characters are actually like. All right, well, we'll get to that Wyndham Earle thing in a little bit, but we got to get down to this cave, baby.
Yeah,
we got to put him on the back burner,
and that's what I'm talking like, about. We got to like either expand our consciousness or dig into the earth. Like
that, yes.
I can't deal with all this street level daredevil. You know, Netflix original series, Daredevil style,
right? Yeah.
Chicanery.
No, I want mysticism. I want mythology.
Yeah. If I'm going to have to deal with Wyndham Earle, he better be twisting a mysterious pole.
Dan,
what?
It's exactly what he does.
I know
you watched it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. But first I want to talk about a certain sheriff named after a very particular former United States president.
Of course,
Harry Truman.
Harry
Truman, when last we saw him, he was passed out, drunk in his bed, and a very tall, very beautiful woman.
A 9-foot woman crawled into bed with him.
Now, to crawl as a 9-foot woman, you're probably looking like a mid-game boss in a Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
Or a game.
Yeah. 100%.
Basically, well, what you're looking like is the Baron Harkonnen's pet, that like spider with human hands. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, but yeah, so Harry is in the bookhouse recovering from his emotional low point. He has bottomed out as prophesized. Someone's like, Harry's about to bottom out. And then he does, which I loved.
Yep.
And this woman, Miss Jones, she sneaks into the bookhouse.
What a nasty woman.
Nasty Miss Jones. She pistol whips the guy taking care of Harry, some nameless bookhouse boy.
She hit a bookhouse boy. You hate to see it.
And then she kind of like, well, first she like takes out some sort of like lip balm looking thing.
Yeah. It's pretty weird. There's no real like explanation for it. I feel like this is just like, all right, we got to wrap this up and we can't just like have her leave town. Maybe there has to be a little bit more for her to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Harry's already like, you know, drunk and like, we're extremely hungover at this point. And she, from her like garter belt, she pulls out a small flask of a green, I don't know what it is, some sort of liquid, puts a little dab on her finger and then rubs it on Harry's lips. And I thought it was like, I knew
poison,
it was like poison,
sedative, something.
But then she puts it on her own lips.
Yeah.
And this like, is just, let's rock and roll, baby.
Yeah. This is just, and so you see her do that and you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. She's about to try to strangle him with piano wire.
Yeah. She has that, what is it? Garrote wire.
Yeah. And it's like gold too. I love that it was like a gold. And she starts choking him out. He gets to me, it's the Austin Powers two thumbs under the. Once again, Austin Powers, it looms large over this show.
It really, I mean, yeah, it's too good. The movie is too good.
So he
gets the upper hand.
Yeah. Also, like Austin Powers, Austin Powers probably fights a few women in that over the course of the franchise, right?
I'm sure he does.
But anyway, she's arrested and down at the station. Harry, as he will do for the rest of the episode, complains about his hangover. He's trying to figure this out. I did love this moment. This is a very strong start to the episode where he's just like, but why would she do that? First of all, she wants to speak to the South African consul.
In Twin Peaks.
That's a funny detail. Also like at the time that this show came out, what a good shorthand for just like painting her as a very nasty lady.
Yes.
So Truman's like, but why would Eckhart want me dead? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Cooper simply goes, sexual jealousy. And that's that. We're done. Sexual that's it. Jealousy. That's the fact of the matter.
That is the explanation that we get.
Sexual jealousy.
There we go.
Yeah. And that's it. You're right. That's the end of the matter. I love this bit where Harry's like, oh man, I need something to eat. I'm really hungover. And then Cooper just goes into it. He's like, oh, I got the perfect cure for a hangover. First, I know he talks about like biscuits and gravy, and then you got to get the sardines in there. And you crack a raw egg.
And he's like, you got to, and he's like five sweetbreads.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweetbreads. Sauteed
which are
chestnuts.
Kidneys. Is that right? Is that what sweetbreads are?
I thought sweetbreads were like the, almost like a head cheese or something. I could be
is
wrong.
That right? I'm going to look it up. I always get, right. I always get sweetbreads and, Rocky Mountain oysters mixed up.
Well, but, sure.
Pancreas. Yeah. Good.
Of course.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Which, turns Harry's stomach and he runs to the bathroom to vomit.
Actually, real quick, I want to walk this back. If you, the listener, have tried sweetbreads and can speak to whether or not they're delicious or not, please write us.
Dan, you're an adventurous eater. You would have no problem eating some sweetbreads, I feel like.
I have no reservations about trying foods or experiencing new cultures.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm sheepish about that. But here's the thing. I can't eat sweetbreads anyway because I have gout.
That's right.
Yeah. My funny problem rears its ugly head.
Goddamn this king's disease.
Mm.
Keeping me away from my sweet, sweet breads. Mm.
In a sense, though, we did kick the king's disease. We're talking about Flanagan now on the main show.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So back at the station, right, they sort of regroup. Who is it? Doc Hayward is there.
They're all gathered around a bonsai tree. That's our entry point.
They got a, so Harry received a bonsai tree in the mail and it says it's from Josie and everybody kind of looks sad for a minute there. Mm. And then who walks in but Special Agent Gordon Cole.
Let's go. He's loud. He's proud to serve his country.
Hell yeah. I love Gordon Cole. I love Lynch's whole deal here. Cole and Cooper, they start talking and whatever. And Gordon Cole was just down in Bend, Oregon. A whole lot of shaking going on in Bend. they're talking about Wyndham Earl. Doc Hayward, tells them that Earl was over at their house yesterday and gave this to Donna, and it's a chess piece and whatever. And then we find out, whoa, somebody has planted a microphone in that bonsai tree, and it's goddamn Wyndham Earl.
He's a mastermind. He's so nefarious. But of course, his plan backfires when Gordon Cole decides to talk to the bonsai tree up close.
Which, any other like show or character on the show, it wouldn't necessarily work, but you just imagine Gordon Cole yelling into that bonsai tree.
It's still pretty contrived, but
yeah.
Delightfully so, I'll say. Yes. Like that. Gordon Cole also gives Cooper the full classified file on Wyndham Earl.
Yep.
Which mentions that he faked a mental illness.
Yeah.
Right? He was taking haloperidol to do that.
The same drug that what's his name? Not Mike was taking. Not Bobby's friend Mike, but Bob's old partner.
Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Is he in every way? Just Windham Earle is a cruel reminder of how good things once were.
It's true.
he also mentions that Windham Earle was involved with Project Blue Book.
Yes.
Which was a government operation to give a black driver to a white driver to a black musician. Is that what that movie's about?
You're thinking of course of Project Green Book.
Ah, yes. Yeah. What a project.
Project Blue Book, of course, everybody already knows this, but it was the government's research into UFOs in the 60s. Roswell, all that stuff. If you've ever watched The X-Files, you already know that kind of thing.
If you even care.
If you even give a shit.
If you even give half a fucking shit. Cole, also, very importantly, this is a big day, right?
It's a big day.
Music just started playing on my computer.
I didn't hear it.
I don't know where it came from. Huh. It was like a little song. That's strange. Anyway. Sorry. It sounded like A Thousand Miles by Michelle Branch. It was a very similar melody.
Okay.
But just as soon as it came, it's gone. Anyway, big day at the station because Gordon Cole's here to reinstate Dale Cooper to the FBI. With all this Windham Earle business, they need him back on the force.
Yeah, they can't afford not to have Cooper on this case here. So gives him back his badge and gives him a brand new gun.
Smith & Wesson. Steel.
10 millimeter. So they... in their talk or whatever, somebody mentions like a link to something, and he's like, "That reminds me of sausages. Makes me hungry. I prefer the patties, but either way, breakfast is in order."
I could write a TV show. Just kidding. But that is my kind of move, huh?
Just relating everything back to breakfast.
Yeah, and also just laziest wordplay pivot out of a yeah.
So they decide to head on over to the Double R. Meanwhile, right? Last week we saw Ben Horn drop by the Hayward household, right? And Donna saw him talking to her mom for like a second, then sort of like shooed him away, like told him to leave, whatever.
Right? We now know that he was saying, "Hayward, ja come to the Great Northern."
Yeah. "Hayward, ja come to the Great Northern."
What's that?
That's a song that he sang to her.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So she does go to the Great Northern to see him. He was dropping off love letters that he had written. This seems to be a new, different Ben Horn. The man doesn't smoke cigars anymore.
He eats carrots. Yeah. Not unlike one Bugs Bunny, who is a bit of a devious scamp.
He is a rascal.
He's a chaotic neutral, I would say.
Yes, he is a chaotic neutral. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot in here about in this episode with Ben where it seems like he's trying to turn over a new leaf, that he has, you know, lived a selfish life and, you know, he got his ass handed to him pretty hard by, you know, life and
all of his adversaries in business.
Yeah. All of his adversaries
one by one, they lined up and took turns kicking him in the crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, made him have a mental break, all of that.
Made me think it was the Civil War, Catherine.
Catherine. Donna's mom, Mrs. Hayward, she goes to the Great Northern to, you know, to see Ben. Donna follows her there and, you know, sees her mom, like, go into Ben's office. Then she calls out for she asks, you know, if Audrey could come out from her office, whatever. They kind of, they talk a little bit, and they're like, do you know why my mom would be talking to your dad? And no one knows. So they're like, well, Audrey knows that there's a secret, you know, hiding spot in the walls.
Audrey lives in the walls. She's the worm that corrupts.
Yes. So they watch this whole conversation between Mrs. Hayward and Ben, where Ben dropped off these love letters, and she's like, I don't want them in my house. And he's like, I'm trying to, you know, change my life, and you know, you were such a big part of my life, and you know, he's expressing all this love for her, and
he's also groping her a bit.
Yeah, a bit of, yeah, he's getting a little handsy.
A little hanky-panky. Is that what hanky-panky is, or is that fucking?
I think hanky-panky is fucking.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I think because it sounded like hand and then pinky.
Right.
So I thought it was just the whole damn hand getting on there. Thumb to pink.
It's when you're giving a hand job, but you use a handkerchief over the penis to cover the whole thing.
Hanky, put your hanky on my panky.
Exactly.
Ooh, wow.
It's crazy that not more, you know,
not more people listen to this show.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I don't think it's that crazy.
So, Ben just wants to make things right. Donna and Audrey, they spy on them, and you know, there's no real resolution there, but Donna basically looks into camera, and she's like, but I'm gonna find out. And a little bit later on, she gets a postcard from none other than James. Hey, did you realize James hasn't been around for like 5 episodes?
I did.
Did you even notice?
I did when his little song started playing.
Yeah.
Just you.
No, thank you.
He's in San Francisco.
Yes. The postcard is just like, you'd love it out here, Donna. Just the open road, it just feels different.
Yeah, the open road in the city of San Francisco.
Yes.
Get real. He's just struggling to ride his motorcycle up a 90-degree hill. Please. What a clown.
What a clown indeed. So Doc Hayward comes home, and you know, Donna and her father, they have a conversation. Donna is asking him, like, do you know why Ben Horn would have been here?
I love the judo that Doc Hayward does here, where it's just like,
oh, yeah.
Every suspicious thing Donna says, he just like instantly has an explanation, a rationalization for.
Yes.
Yeah. He does not want to think about it.
Yeah. He's like, Doc Hayward obviously knows what's up here, knows what's going on, but doesn't want to talk to Donna about it.
So. Also, there's like in that conversation with Ben and Eileen.
Yeah.
They say something like, isn't it like she can never know, or like someone can never know?
Maybe. Like,
sounding like,
like maybe Ben is daddy.
Ben is dad. Ben might be someone's daddy, or Eileen is someone's mommy.
It's possible. And then just then a delivery comes to the house, and it's more roses. And Donna's like, she gets the door, and she's like, it's for mom. Doesn't say who it's from. And Doc Hayward's just like, all right, well, I'm going upstairs. Also, at the Great Northern, we get the bit with Audrey. And first we get a little bit Audrey and Billy Zane there. Zane with the glasses on, looking like maybe an explorer or something. Like he's looking for the lost city of Z.
Damn, Zane. Pillow on my lap.
Yeah, he's looking like a snack. Audrey comes in and she's like, you know, she drops something off, and he says something like, you know, my father used to say, if you're going to bring a hammer, you better bring nails too. And she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, you come to my room with these intentions, better be ready to
put the hanky panky.
Yeah, you better bring your handkerchief.
Yeah. If you're going to bring a hanky, better bring pankies.
So, and then she turns it on him. A little later on, we get a bit with like Ben and Audrey, and how Ben is like, Ben is talking about like the Kennedys and how like JFK always had Bobby Kennedy at his side, right?
This is such a funny example.
Of course. It's crazy. But it's like, he's talking about like, and then the Bay of Pigs and Bobby was right there with him and all this, right? And
yeah, Bay of Pigs, which also, right? Like,
yeah.
Amid like, you know, a family sort of just like marked by the universe for tragedy.
Yes.
To bring up the Bay of Pigs specifically is so funny. Yeah. He was there for that whole fucking thing.
The whole damn thing.
I don't know if you saw what I just saw, but I just saw the underside of Beans's head peek down over the top of your computer.
It's cute.
It was very cute. Little fuzzy chin.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's basically like, Audrey, I want you to be my Bobby Kennedy at the Bay of Pigs.
Which like Audrey, at first Audrey was like, well, isn't that what Jerry has been for you? And he's like, and he knows like Jerry's a bad influence. This guy, he's always, he's flying off to exotic countries, bringing back delicious sandwiches and women. And he's like, no, I need somebody I could trust and who will also kind of keep me on the straight and narrow here. He also sends Audrey on a business trip, right? Where are they? I forget where
she's Alaska?
Going. Is that where it is?
I want to say Alaska.
All right. So she's going off to Alaska, and right then, like, Billy Zane comes in, and there's this whole, like, I guess we aren't going to have dinner tonight or whatever kind of thing. And then Zane sits down with Ben, and I love it. Ben like takes off his shoes and then like crosses his legs, like it sits like like facing him on the couch.
Yeah,
and they're talking, and Billy Zane, Ben is talking about being good.
Yeah, he's like, I want to be good. I don't know how. How do I do that?
Yes.
And Zane is basically like, you just gotta like listen to that voice and like trust your gut, go with your heart. And
tell the truth.
And Ben is very confused by all of this.
Yes. But it's pretty good, though. It's like when Billy Zane says you got to tell the truth, tell the hard truths first. Right. And he's like, yes, the truth. Truth is on the forefront of good. I love it. I love all that. And then Billy Zane is like, Ben, I'm falling in love with your daughter. And he doesn't even acknowledge it at first. He's like, exactly. Something great example.
Yeah. He's like, that would be a hard truth.
And he is like, no, I really am. And he's like, aha. And then he pulls out a carrot from his pocket, like, and he hands it to him like a cigar. This is all very silly stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like the good, silly shit that we've kind of been missing from the show.
It is like, it's probably too silly, but I do feel like that the sort of like middle of the nadir of this season.
Yeah.
Move the Overton window on me. And it permanently lowered my standards for the show.
You're right. I think, yes. If you watch this episode, maybe like right after season one, you'd be like, well, this is way too silly.
Yeah.
What is all this business? Why is he eating so many carrots?
But no, they've successfully, what's it called? Where you fall in love with your kidnapper.
Stockholm syndrome.
They've done that to me. They've done that to me. And I gotta tell you, I don't mind it one bit at this point.
Full Beans chin.
Yeah.
In the camera.
That was an FBC. Beans, if you're new to the show, by the way, is Rob's cat.
It's one of my kitty cats. I have Gizmo and I have Beansy. And Beans has been, she's been fascinated with podcasting, the whole medium of it.
You better tell her. You better get the hit her with the spray bottle and tell her that the market is oversaturated enough as is.
I can almost guarantee that if I could get these two on mic and start a podcast them just meowing,
they'd run circles around us.
Oh my God. It would be the number one podcast over Joe Rogan, WTF, whatever, every week. Mm. just two cats meowing at each other, but sometimes then, hissing.
That would be huge.
Right?
That would be huge.
Huge, huge blowout fight between
But then they
two,
get canceled for having Dr. Jordan Peterson on.
I can't even fucking do with Jordan Peterson. Fucking with his creaky voice. He's guy's always fucking
always about
crying.
To cry.
Ugh,
I love God. It. I love it. He's so he's an absolute clown.
He's such a fucking clown. It's so not to go off on a whole Jordan Peterson thing, but it seems like such a foreign alien sort of thing for him to cry that he doesn't even know when it's appropriate. And he's just like, he's talking about a guitar player that he saw in Nashville,
a cover band. Nashville.
And he's just like, it was some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. And we were all dancing. Like you're talking about like going out on a Friday night in Nashville.
Do you do you remember what song it is?
I don't.
I'm gonna figure it out.
Yeah, like probably The Devil Went Down to Georgia or something. It was like that.
Whatever song it was definitely the guitar solo specifically that set him off. But
yeah, it was. And then you watch the video, and it's like the guy, the guitar player is good. He's fine, but it's not like. It's not transcendent.
Yeah, but you weren't there, man. You weren't
there. You had to be there.
If your daughter kept you in a medical coma 8 months out of the year, you would cherish life as much as that man does. every experience.
Yeah, I'm only allowed out of my my hyperbaric chamber for 4 months out of the year,
and you know I'm crying through all of it.
Yeah, I've been stocking up these tears, baby.
Well, hey, what do you say we take a minute to go watch some cover bands, cry together?
Yeah.
And when we come back, I suppose, who knows where we'll end up? The R&R Diner?
Oh, maybe the double R? Maybe we'll go spelunking?
Double R. What did I say? R&R. Can you blame me?
No, you look sleepy as hell. All right. Let's take a break. Guys, if you want to listen to the rest of the episode, head on over to patreon.com/kingmepod. Sign up for one free week. You could listen, test it out, see if you like it. If you like it, you can continue to listen for $5 a month. You get the rest of the Tuesday episodes, and every other Friday you get a new bonus episode. Right now we're in the middle of our Lynch series, but this coming Friday we're going to be talking Magnolia because it was requested by one of our listeners. That's right. If you sign up, you can request us to talk about a movie. And it can be like one of the longest movies of all time. And we'll do it.
That's true. And if you want to request a good movie, that's even
yeah,
better.
We would like that too.
Yeah, we like that. It's good, but it's long. I mean, it's long, but it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/KingMePod. All right. We will be right back.